going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The bodies of an engaged couple from Upper Marlboro have arrived in the D.C. area after they died at a vacation resort in the Dominican Republic. 63-year-old Edward Holmes and 50-year-old Cynthia Day were both found dead in their room at the Bahia Principe Resort in Punta Cana last month. At least six Americans vacationing at Dominican Republic resorts have died under suspicious circumstances over the past year, three in recent months. Well, tonight, we're looking at this issue and what it means for you and your vacation plans. My guests are Carrie Cowan, travel blogger with Passport Junkie, Benay Wilson, former travel journalist, and Dr. Sylvia Martinez, president of the D.C. Latino Caucus. If you have a comment, if you have a question about this issue, give us a call. Lines are open right now at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You're certainly welcome to tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for joining the conversation. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Absolutely.
Let me start with you, Benay. Your thoughts about these recent developments in the Dominican Republic. Does it give you pause?
It doesn't really give me pause. I mean, I think that, you know, I travel regularly, both professionally and personally. I take my child with me on my travels. And I just think that this is unfortunate series of events, but it's not going to stop me from traveling.
Mm-hmm. Same question for you, Carrie.
Sure. So, you know, I agree with the other guest. You have to put this in context. You know, tragedies have happened for travelers before. They're not uncommon. I don't think this is, you know, a moment for us to stop traveling to Dominican Republic or anywhere else. I think we just have to learn how to be safe and take the necessary precautions both before and during travel.
Well, but let us be honest here. The reason that we're talking about this is because this is unusual. We have had six people die, American tourists die, over the past 12 months, three of them at the same resort. And the circumstances are extremely suspicious. Yes, tourists have mishaps, whether they are in the Caribbean, whether they are in Europe. We've seen tourists dying, unfortunately, in the Grand Canyon, just as many falling off of cliffs because they haven't been adhering to safety measures. But this situation is really unusual. And with that said, Dr. Martinez, what should we think about that? Because we don't have all of the facts.
It's a very unusual situation. It's a very sad situation. Of course, our hearts go out to the people that have died. But I'm here to put everything into perspective. Many things happen abroad. It's not going to stop me from traveling all over the world. I've gone to Saudi Arabia. I've gone to just different places where people have said, do not go. And so we have to put everything into perspective. I think my colleague here talked about traveling safe. I am from the Caribbean, and when I go to the Caribbean, I travel safe. So I think we have to put everything into perspective when there's a lot of information out there talking about the crime rates. And so that's something that I would like to bring into this conversation so that people understand and do not start to talk about the Dominican Republic per se as a very dangerous place and stigmatize not only the country, but as well the people who live there.
But before we even talk about the crime rates, because with the exception of a report earlier this year of a woman who was brutally beaten at a resort, she of course survived, but she was brutally beaten by someone at the resort. We don't know whether or not that person was an employee of the resort or was posing at an employee. But in these cases, these most recent cases, these people were not they weren't off the resort. They were on the resort.
Sure.
They
exactly.
They apparently may have consumed something either from a mini bar. That is the thing that really brings this issue to the fore. We can get to the crime rate,
right.
But look, full transparency. I was in Cancun last week for 4 days. I rarely left the resort. I did twice, but for the most part, I stayed at the resort. Like many of these people, they stayed at the resort. I came home. They didn't.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's always an understanding that if you stay in the resort, you're safer. And I understand where you're coming from. But again, we can't speculate what the circumstances were, because not even the FBI has been able to tell us what's happening. So I guess we're going to have to wait and see. And I see this as something that's aberrant from the normal resort area. I've been to many resorts. It's been wonderful. I've gone and done our Airbnb outside in towns, etc., and nothing really has actually happened as long as we travel safe. So this is something that we're going to have to wait and see what the FBI says. The cause might be just one person who has just been in these resorts, just mm-hmm. being evil.
The other thing we have to acknowledge, too, is, people have health issues, and someone may be reacting to something differently or, in a more severe way than another person does. And so one of the things that I definitely recommend is ensuring that you've checked in with your doctor to make sure that you are healthy enough to travel, that you will not have a reaction to something while you're away. Traveling can be very hard on the heart, hard on the lungs, et cetera. So, I think...
And on the stomach.
Yeah, well, obviously that too. And so, just making sure that we're, in a place where it is safe for us to travel in general. And also, let's make sure that we separate what's happening on the resort from the country. And I think that's what Dr. Martinez is trying to get at. We can start to generalize and just make, decisions based on fact and theory as opposed to, what actually is going on.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the recent issues of American tourists dying while abroad in the Dominican Republic. What impact will this have on your vacation plans? Should it have an impact on your vacation plans wherever you happen to go? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Terry, calling from Baltimore. Terry, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good evening. I got really two questions. My first question is, this is very unusual, and I guess my concern is, isn't the hotel industry, I don't know if it's regulated over in the Dominican Republic, but I mean, aren't they, is there any regulations about this? I mean, shouldn't they be looking into this? Because they're really... is going to have severe financial implications. They rely heavily on tourism, and so I mean, their bottom line is definitely going to be different by the end of this year in terms of profit. Making beautiful guest staying in hotels. And secondly, here's my other question: why is only American tourists being harmed? I know there's other people from other countries, but how come it's just American?
Which is, and I think that's a really valid question. Binet, your comments about what Terry is asking.
Well, first, I'll answer the second question first. When news comes out, I mean, we're very U.S.-centric. So maybe there have been other issues, and we don't know. We live in the United States, so we are focusing on U.S. citizens. As for the hotels, there are standards, there are rules and regulations, but I don't think people are going to be paying attention to that because I belong to a lot of travel groups on Facebook and we talk about travel and where we've gone. And a lot of people don't want to go to the Dominican Republic anymore. So I think it's going to be up to the hotels, the country's tourism bureau to come out and be really forceful about saying that it's safe to come to the Dominican Republic. It's going to be an uphill climb, but I think it's something that when they see the bottom line that they're going to have to address.
I think that's an excellent question, specifically the first one. Now that you bring it up, I'm very curious to know who the owners of these resorts are. Are they American owned? Do we have associations with people in the Dominican? So that would be an interesting question to see. And I'm sure that they have regulations, but I'm interested now after this wonderful question. I'm going to try to find out who really are the owners and see if they have not only if they're Americans, hopefully they're also following our standards as well.
Carrie?
Sure. Well, I think that there absolutely has to be regulation, and perhaps this is an opportunity for alliances across the globe, right, to look at the regulations for hotel and for hotel safety, and we can sort of begin the conversation and take a look at that again to make sure that, you know, we're protecting travelers and the industry as a whole.
Terry, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Zach calling from Temple Hills. Thanks for calling, Zach. What's on your mind? Zach, are you there? Give us a call back if you can. One of the things that came out today, there was a kayak.com survey that talked about the impact, as Terry was suggesting, on tourism in the Dominican Republic as a result of what has happened. And they were saying that their reservations are down some 14% over the past 2 weeks and are continuing. Just how would you recommend, Carrie, that whoever owns these hotels and whatever their management is addressing, how they would address this? Because initially when these stories came out, the pushback was PR speak and extremely vague to the point where they were saying that they just didn't even want anyone to speculate about what possibly has happened, but there was no addressing even a bit of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. You know, the unfortunate thing about all this, if you actually look at Americans with passports, only 42% of Americans have passports, as compared to 60% in Canada and 75% in Britain. And so what's unfortunate is that we really don't need a reason to stop traveling, right? And so what I think helps in all of this is education and information. And I do think, to your point, there does need to be accountability. They need to ensure that answers are provided, that officials get to the bottom of whatever is going on. And I think this is where, you know, you really create a strategic way to provide information about what are the real numbers in terms of crime and instances of health issues and death, and then what can you do before and during to ensure that you're safe.
And I would say also, in reference to more information coming out, and something that you said, Dr. Martinez, where right now the FBI can't seem to get a handle on specifically what has happened to Cynthia Day and Edward Holmes, the family. Families, I should say, of both of these people are requesting a second autopsy because they are so skeptical about that. And so certainly I'm sure that that will provide us with some more information. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kathy calling from Upper Marlboro. Kathy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm calling in reference to the Dominican Republic. I do have a scheduled trip there that I have immediately canceled because I personally do not feel comfortable going over there without information being revealed, you know, about that. And I travel safely all the time, or try to, but then what does travel safely really mean? You know, you can take all the precautions, but under these circumstances, we really don't know what's going on over there.
Dr. Martinez, you were going to say something.
Yes, well, I want to go back to what Carrie was saying, that we have to educate ourselves, and I think it's all it's up to us to measure what type of experiences we're able and not able to conform to. Okay, so some of us are thinking of canceling our trips to the Dominican Republic. So where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Puerto Rico sounds really good. Well, Puerto Rico has a higher crime rate than the Dominican Republic. And Puerto Rico is part of the United States. The same thing if we talk about Trinidad and Tobago, which is a beautiful place. I love the place. The people are fabulous. It's when I go there, I feel completely safe. Again, based on crime rate numbers, it's very high up there. So we just have to be very, very careful again that one or two cases then drives us to make some decisions when we have already experienced all these other countries that may be identified as having a high crime rate, but really are just lovely places to travel.
But now and go right ahead, Binet.
I'm sorry. I think the other part, I mean, Kathy has brought up a very good point. I mean, she was going to the Dominican Republic, and she is canceling her trip.
Yes.
And I'm seeing a lot of this in my travel groups and in discussions. And I think that the Dominican Republic really needs to address this. And I understand what the doctor was saying about these other countries, but the spotlight is on the Dominican Republic now. So it behooves them to address this quickly so that more people like Kathy don't continue to cancel their trips.
Yeah, you make an excellent point. And I think to that point, we are talking about two different kinds of situations here where, it's one thing where, as I mentioned earlier, there was a woman who was beaten at a resort, or someone who leaves a resort and does not use common sense.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
The other thing, and I'm going to start this little piece of this conversation before we go to a break. In these particular cases, there were questions about, the mini bar.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's one thing if you're going to a resort where you pay for everything, but so many people go to all-inclusive resorts where mini bar, food, buffet, everything is included. So what do you do now? Do you not eat? Do you not drink from the mini bar?
And it becomes very scary because of one thing that you might really depend a lot on is the mini bar, because the bottles are closed, the packages are also closed, so you sort of may have a feeling that you feel very safe when you're consuming these articles versus going to the bar, which is an open bar, and you don't know what's being put in your drinks. So and I can understand, I have empathy for somebody who's afraid to go there, but those are things that we can't control in my mind. Said, which may not be other people's mindset, is I can't control if a plane is going to come down and when I'm traveling. So those are things that, and then you make a decision. Am I going to be traveling by plane?
Mm. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Red calling from Columbia, Maryland. Also Marcus calling from Maryland. Please do not hang up. We will be taking your calls after this, and you will be able to hear the program. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is next on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141. Keep calling. We'll take your phone calls. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. We're continuing our conversation about travel safety in the wake of several deaths of American tourists in the Dominican Republic. My guests are Carrie Cowan. She's a travel blogger with The Passport Junkie, Binet Wilson, former travel journalist, and Dr. Sylvia Martinez, president of the D.C. Latino Caucus. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Red, calling from Columbia, Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. The young lady brought up the point about education, and I think that is critically important to the development of the island nations that are in closest proximity to the United States of America. We have too many travelers from our country that think that they can get away with exploitation, manipulation, swinging, and things of that nature in our backyard in the countries to our south, the island countries to our south. And so I think there needs to be an education campaign and initiatives that will educate from the inside out and from the outside in terms of how we perceive our sisters and our brothers in the island countries.
Help. Okay, let me stop you there because I think we're going a little bit left. I'm not. What are you talking about?
I think
help me with this.
I think the person is talking about the ugly American that for many years was present when we went abroad, and our behaviors tended to be the dominant culture, the superior culture coming into all these other countries and expecting reverence towards us. And I'm so happy to see that these things have changed. Now the more that we travel, the more people learn about other people. And I think that those behaviors, which I have to say, being from the island and having spent many years of in the islands growing up, I did see in Americans coming in.
Help me with this because I'm still a little confused. Because a lot of people go on vacation to act a fool. Now, I'm not talking about that's the reality. Whether that vacation is in the Dominican Republic, whether it's in Trinidad or Tobago, or in Las Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. We know all of that. So I guess I'm trying to get a full understanding of you can go, you can have a good time, you can get drunk, we fall down, you get back up, you go to your bedroom, and then you wake up in the morning, you do it all over again. I think there's a difference between, having a good time, overindulging, and disrespecting a culture that you are.
Right, and I think some of those behaviors may be disrespectful to the culture, but I think it goes back to what Carrie was saying, how we have to be very cognizant and how we have to travel safe.
Well, yeah, and my point is,
if you'd like to make a call, please.
Okay, go right ahead.
You are. So I think, the caller also, he's also hinting at some of the tourism that men may, be seeking out over there or going away to sort of indulge in things that you wouldn't necessarily do at home.
Listen, and so that's all men, right?
Not necessarily.
Because Stella got her groove back. So let us be 100% clear. Didn't I say in the beginning of this conversation, I just came back from Cancun, and to be quite honest, the men, compared to what I saw the women doing, were considerably more tame. But that's another conversation,
right, absolutely.
So
either way, for men and women, understand the risk, right, that you're actually taking. And even though you're having a good time, that may be an opportunity for someone else to take advantage of you. The other thing that I would say is, again, prepare yourself and make sure you take the precautions before. Health insurance does not usually cover you when you're traveling, right? So look into travel health insurance. If you're going to do you overseas, be responsible and make sure that you have a way to, for example, be medevaced out of there if you need to be.
I agree.
Able to see a doctor, for example, in an extreme emergency situation. So, education and preparation for whatever activities you plan to participate in.
Something as simple as how do you dress?
Exactly.
I mean, 2 years ago I was in Egypt, and of course I did my education. I went to Saudi Arabia, did my education. How do I dress? How am I supposed to comport myself? And then I see one or two, can't say if they were Americans or Europeans, not dressing appropriately. Well, that can be very offensive to a culture, and then putting themselves in a situation that they wouldn't. So I think education, mm-hmm. and really something basic things such as what you said, the insurance, and also how do you dress, and also how you conduct yourself, goes a long ways to preserving your safety.
Let me bring that point to Marcus. Marcus calling from Maryland. Marcus, what's on your mind?
So, I want to go to the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
I keep hearing the panel talking about, travel safely and take all these precautions. But really, what they need to do is break it down and tell us how to travel safely. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm listening for.
Thank you so much. And you got to it right before I did, and I appreciate your thoughts. So let's talk about exactly that. Whether it's the Dominican Republic or what have you, but you know, for the purposes of this conversation and those who are not canceling their trips to the DR, how would you define safe travel, Carrie? I mean, give me a list here of what I should be concerned about. And Marcus, we want to make sure that Marcus comes back
yes,
to
definitely.
Us.
Definitely. Absolutely. So I've sort of separated these tips into before, in the before stage, before you leave, and then during. So before, here are four things that I would suggest you do. First thing, make sure you make copies of your health insurance, the front and back of credit cards, and then also your passport. The passport is key because if you need to leave a country quickly, something has happened to your passport, you want to be able to produce copies of all of this stuff to be able to move as you need to move. The other thing is you want to make sure your loved ones have a copy of some of these same documents so that you can email them or reach out to them if you need to. The next thing I'd suggest is, as I mentioned before, visit a healthcare professional. I mean, we have, you know, in our population in particular, some health challenges, and as I mentioned, travel can sort of exacerbate some of those. So make sure you check in with your doctor as needed. Explore travel insurance. Again, a lot of times your health insurance here will not cover you abroad. And then this is a big one. Thoroughly research your destination. You can do that by going to the State Department website, looking at the rating that they've given the country and some of the current issues going on in the country. Google travel reviews and overall news reviews of your resort in your country to get a good understanding about what's going on.
You're going to also want to know where to go in the city. So what museums am I going to go to? What areas should I not go to? And you will find that information out in the internet. The other thing is try to find people who are from there. There's a lot of people in Washington, D.C. that are from the Dominican Republic. So search for them. Feel free to get in touch with me. I can get you in touch with people from the Dominican Republic, which will give you wonderful advice what restaurants to go to, where to go dancing, and where not to go. So it's invaluable always to get in touch with people who are actually from there. They'll tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm. A few other things to consider while you're actually traveling, while you're actually there. So having shared your travel plans and itineraries with loved ones, agree on a frequency to check in with them and make sure that you do that. For example, once a day, you know, texting, posting on social media, always to let people know, all different ways to let people know that you're okay. Always be aware of your surroundings. Avoid, going places alone. Go to recommended places. We talked a little bit about this, but resist the urge to overindulge. You know, a lot of things happen when you're drinking a lot and not really paying attention. That's when sort of people may take advantage of you. So really be careful about that. And then the other thing I always recommend is hiding an emergency stash of cash. When all else fails, sometimes money talks, and it can get you out of a situation. It can get you to the airport quickly. It can really be helpful. And so make sure you have a small, you know, stash of cash that you've hidden down in your luggage that you can access if you need to in a case of emergency.
Another advice is don't draw attention to yourself. Therefore, don't take your best sneakers. I never put on any earrings when I travel. I don't use watches when I travel. I don't use bracelets when I travel. I'm not looking for people to look at me. I'm not looking for people to get the wrong idea. Oh, this person has some money. I can actually rob them. So even when I go back home, I do the same thing. Be careful about getting into taxi cabs. So they have to be reputable. Make sure that the resort that you're staying in will find you the driver or the cab company that they have confidence in. So just be very, very careful who you hang out, because you'll meet a lot of beautiful people in the islands. But, you know, just like here, we always have to be very, very careful who we meet and who we hang out with, and how much exposure we give them about our lives and where we are staying.
Marcus, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Danielle calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm calling because, you know, I've been to both Haiti. I went to both Haiti and Dominican Republic. And
when did you go to Haiti?
I went to Haiti a year and a half or two years ago. And DR maybe 2 months before that. Intentionally, because I felt like if I'm going to be giving tourism money to DR, I should also be considering Haiti, which shares an island. And given my experience, both places, I felt, in terms of safety, you know, as safe as common sense is anywhere in any major city. If I was in New York and in you know, Flatbush, or if I was in, you know, wherever it was. And I felt like we should also be talking about Haiti as an alternative travel place.
Yes.
As a race, we deprived Haiti of all this tourism, and why? Based on whose narrative? Like, mm-hmm. Now it's interesting that the conversation is all about Dominican Republic. And it's like, you know,
Dominican is definitely problematic, and that's probably a conversation for, you know, another time.
No, we have time. that's why you're here. So please speak your piece.
I would suggest spending some time researching the ethnic cleansing that happened. I think as travelers of color, we should be intentional about the countries that we go and visit, and that's what I'm gonna say about that.
Okay. Danielle, because I want to get too much into the political, because I do want to speak to issues of safety. Having been to Haiti a year after the earthquake and the devastation that to this day Haiti is still recovering from. Can you give me the cliff notes on your experience when you were there? Because you said you were just there 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, when I was there, it was also after the earthquake.
And, yes, of course.
We arrived in Port-au-Prince, which was, clearly still devastated. I mean, everything was tin shacks. I mean, I didn't see any homes of any stable structure. But, you know, when you ride out to, there are still, and I feel like Port-au-Prince is separate from talking about the resort town. Same as I think going into Santo Domingo or some of these areas in Dominican are separate from their resort towns. When we got to Montreux, you know, it was a completely different place. I mean, it was, you know, it was their tourist area and the beach and the all-inclusive resort. And it was, you know, as much and more than you would get, you know, somewhere else. Lots of people from, you know, lots of Americans visiting. So I saw a lot of the devastation as well, but that was, you know, mm-hmm. coming into the main city, Port-au-Prince. And even for that reason, I feel like it's even more important that people of color, that we're giving our tourism money, that we're making it count where we're going.
Okay.
Like, why are we choosing DR so heavily over Haiti? Like, whose narrative made us think Haiti was so unsafe in terms of in a tourist area? You know, I'm not talking about their, you know, in terms of comparing it to, you know, any other Caribbean or Cancun off of the resort area place.
Well, I think you make a good point, and I think you can argue that the different people travel for different reasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly there were people who travel to Cuba for cigars, and then you have others that travel to Cuba to say that they went to make a political statement, and then you may have those who travel to Haiti and are intentional, as you just said, Danielle, and then you have some people who travel to the DR or to Cancun who
who all they want to do is eat and lay on the beach, is mm-hmm. which is what I was making no political statements. So, you know, but I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Lisa. Lisa calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was told that a lot of resorts overseas are distilling their own alcohol. And to save on costs, even though when you're distilling, you're supposed to, the first and second batches are not consumable. But a lot of places are using this non-consumable alcohol and mixing it with consumable alcohol, bottling it, and serving it to customers so people that are getting sick and dying. So just like they say, follow the money to find a bank robber. Follow the booze.
I have to say that it has occurred to me that maybe there was a really bad batch of something that was distributed to some of these resorts, just as we have sometimes contaminated salads being distributed to Safeway and Giant and all that, it has occurred to me something sure. of the sort, not intentional, but just things that happen.
Yeah, and I think we can potentially modify our behavior, right, to bring our own alcohol, to bring, you know, to purchase perhaps at a duty-free where, you know, it's a national brand. Something that I do anyway is bring my own snacks. You know, you may get to a place and the food is just not agreeing with you and you don't want to be left with absolutely nothing to eat. So I think, you know, potentially thinking about bringing stuff, you know, for yourself is potentially another way to look at it.
Interesting, Lisa. Thank you so much. I can honestly say I've not heard that. And to your point, Carrie, about safety, whether you're going to bring your own snacks or buy, you know, your drinks in duty free and bring it in. And, you know, certainly you have to kind of budget and anticipate the additional cost. I will say back to one of the other points that was made earlier that I did have a mini bar with four upturned bottles. I'd never seen that before, but where it was tequila, there was rum. Mm-hmm. And two other, I think, bourbon or something like that. I didn't drink that only because I took my drinks when I did in the restaurants. And, of course, the, you know, the water, and that was capped in the mini bar. And that's all I drank there. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, well, you came here to enjoy yourself, so why stay in the room and drink when you can drink where, you know, mm-hmm. everyone else is? With that, to my own, you know, philosophy. But I think that I was aware of these stories, even though I was in Cancun. I was aware of these stories that were coming out of the Dominican Republic, and I just did not really do that much consuming of alcohol because I was by myself anyway. And so those are the kinds of things that I would, when it comes to safety, you do need to be circumspect when it comes to right. just how much that you're going to drink, if you drink at all. Let me go to Rick. Rick calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Rick. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just listening to you, the segment about the Dominican Republic and the situation that's going on there. My question is this happening all over the Dominican Republic, or is this just isolated resort? I mean, I travel to the Dominican Republic quite often. I stay at resorts, I stay at all-inclusive, and I stay at the private villas. And I've never had an incident, you know, of anything like this. I mean, like I said, is it just this isolated area? I was just recently in Santo Domingo and never had any issues. So I'm just trying to figure out, is this isolated area? Is this just all inclusive resort or what? Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing your experiences. We really sound really good, and that's what I think that's one of the messages that we want to give the audience today, that it's, you know, that this might be just an isolated situation where maybe there's just one evil person doing what he or she should not be doing, or there's a batch of some of some consumable that went wrong. I think the way you're thinking is sort of the way I'm thinking is that this is an isolated situation.
Well, and to answer your question, what has happened is the three most recent deaths, specifically Edward Holmes, Cynthia Day, Miranda Shop Werner, happened at the Bahia Principe Hotels. That's in Punta Cana. Now, there was a man who got sick at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, also in Punta Cana, but that was back in April. He also died. So these incidents did happen in the resort town of Punta Cana. There are no reports of any of these things happening in Santo Domingo, but they've happened in Punta Cana, which is the, you know, the resort area, the more heavily traveled area for tourists. You wanted to share something, Carrie?
Oh no, just in total agreement with you. Yeah.
So and obviously, Rick, like you were saying, spending time in, you know, in Santo Domingo, the, you know, the capital city, and you know, there you may have been certainly immune from the kind of deadly health things that have fallen upon, you know, these people. But in any event, wherever you go, whether it be in Punta Cana, Santo Domingo, or elsewhere, certainly safety is paramount. But thank you so much for your phone call. One of the other things that kind of came to mind when you're talking about safety off of the resort, as well as monitoring and being on, you know, being on your best behavior, and this is outside of the health concern. One of the things that happened when I did leave the resort, and even as you're off the resort, you can try to look like a native all you want, but they can spot you coming, mm-hmm. and they will ask you about tours and the like. They'll also ask you about, as they put it, the ladies, specifically as it relates to mm-hmm. into prostitution, and I encountered those kinds of offers constantly, even as I was moving through downtown right. Cancun. And I think that, and even though I told them thank you, the other thing when you're talking about common sense is that you still need to look behind you even after.
Mm-hmm. I as we're talking here, I'm starting to think about us as women, because we, in anywhere we go, even when we're not abroad, we have to always follow common sense. Mm-hmm. So we're always looking behind ourselves, in front of ourselves, who we're talking to, etc. So I have a feeling that maybe us ladies may have already been prepared to travel abroad. But I'm just here just mm-hmm. speculating as we talk about some of the behaviors that we have to do. But again, yeah, we have to. You were talking about your experiences as a male, but us females also encounter men wanting to go out with us and, just take advantage of us. I mean, here in the United States, we have to be very, very careful who drops something on our drinks when we go out dancing.
Absolutely.
So you can imagine in other places we have to continue just as you play it safe and be very aware of our surroundings.
And you mentioned earlier about, for example, and this is one of the things that really kind of struck me about making sure that, you know, the cab that you get into mm-hmm. is really a cab, and
yeah.
and not someone. I took the bus.
Which is a great experience.
Yeah,
I didn't think much of it.
Yeah.
It was recommended to me.
Yep.
By a black man that I met when I was there, who was from, I don't know, he was another city, and he just kind of said, hey, you know, are you going out? And I'm like, yeah, well, this is what happened to me. and this is what I've heard has happened, and so let me hip you to this so it doesn't happen to you. And he suggested not to take a cab.
Yeah.
He suggested take the bus.
I think one of the best resources that you actually can have is sort of word of mouth and referrals, right? So definitely there's wisdom in, you know, in the group, right? And so one of the things I always recommend is reach out to a friend. And part of the reason why I created Passport Junkie is to provide resources country to country, city to city, and sort of say, like, here are the people I used, here are the vendors I trust, you know, consider using these people. And I think that's another way to sort of keep yourself safe is to rely on referrals from people that you actually know. The other thing I try to do is do as much of the planning and setting up of rides and tours, etc., before I get there.
Yes.
Sometimes you want to wait till you get there because you're not quite sure, but I think when you do it online, it tends to be a reputable company. There are reviews that reflect the experience, and so you can kind of make sure that, you know, you're making the right decision when you use some of those tips.
Let me piggyback on that, because this has to do with not only before you leave, but also your experience when you get there. How do you know that you are, if you don't have word of mouth information, how do you know by looking online or calling the travel agent or what have you, that you're making the right, safe, comfortable decision for the money?
Mm-hmm.
How do you discern whether you're going to? I mean, it's one thing if you can see the pictures on there and you can tell, oh yeah, I'm not going to that place. But a lot of people don't have the wealth of knowledge that you have, and
yeah.
So how do you make that decision before you get there?
You know, to your point, it does become sort of a second intuition after you've gone through this process a few times. Small plug: I encourage you to follow me at the Passport Junkie. Reach out to people, talk to people. I don't know. I mean, Google becomes your best friend. Look through travel reviews. See what actual people say. You know, the beautiful thing and sometimes bitter thing about travel is sometimes you don't make the right decision and that becomes a learning experience. Hopefully it won't be something that completely scars you, but I think that's sort of, you know, the journey of travel, right? Is to do your research, do what you can, reach out to who you know. And like I said, I'm happy to answer any questions. Follow me at the Passport Junkie on Instagram. And then, you know, from there, just learn to make those decisions a little bit better as you have more experiences.
And of course, I'll make sure that your contact information is on our website on whur.com after this program. Real quick, I've got about 30 seconds. Dr. Martinez, some final thoughts from you.
Well, I think the more, one, go out and travel. Carrie talked about the low incidence of travel from Americans. We have to go out, explore. It's just marvelous to go and learn about other people and learn about other cultures. It is so enhancing. So I really encourage everybody to go. Again, Carrie said it, do your studies before you go, and your trip will be wonderful. And always, just follow safety. That are common sense.
Yeah. And if you don't have common sense, write it down.
Oh,
or have
like
talk
that.
To somebody
like
who
that.
Does. There you go.
I like that.
You know, because that really is the way it is. I want to thank Carrie Cowan, Benet Wilson, and Dr. Sylvia Martinez
thank
for coming in
pleasure.
And sharing with us. And for those of you who are traveling, safe travels to you this summer. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, June 11th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.
Innovative treatments and cures can help solve our biggest healthcare cost challenges. Hi, I'm Diane Alexander, Executive Director of Women in Government. The U.S. is projected to spend $13.5 trillion on hospital care over the next decade. It's more important than ever that new medicines be developed that will keep patients healthy and out of the hospital. Our members support the 854,000 biopharmaceutical sector employees working in the U.S. to meet and beat our biggest health challenges. To learn more, visit fromhopetocures.org.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington. Thank you.